I found something interesting to talk about.
Very interesting to talk about.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our whisper acting. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop.
Time Pop.
Today, in the present, we will be discussing The Jacket from the past, and you will listen to it into the future, which is now.
Now.
So we watched The Jacket from 2005, rated R, 1 hour and 43 minutes, directed by John Mayberry, written by Tom Bleeker, Mark Rocco, Massey Tejadine, starring Adrian Brody, Keira Knightley, Daniel Craig, Kris Kristofferson, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Brad Renfro, oh my God, Mackenzie Phillips, an amazing cast of characters, and...
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I guess Scott has something interesting to tell us, so...
No, that's for later on. I'm not
going to... Fascinate me, Scott. Fascinate me.
We're not even... No, this is all other... We got to delve into this more. But this is a weird one because Ari and I literally just watched it. Like, we've never watched the movie and came right to the podcast. We're fresh. We're still in the drawer.
Yeah.
We are in the jacket in the drawer as we speak.
It's kind of hard. Well, especially for my my research specialist, this really puts you in a tough spot. To not be able to go out and Google a few things, which I'm sure you did some early Googling.
Yeah. So I did quick Googling.
Oh.
I'm not going to get into the thing. We'll talk about that later. But this is based off of a Jack London story from 1915, which is interesting.
Scott, yes. You know what they call a quick Google?
Insta-Google.
A diddle.
Oh. All right. So I diddled myself.
You know what? I have an even better story to... attached to your story. So we're going to stack our cool stories and just...
Oh, I know what story you're... Okay, let's do it.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
I do.
What?
I came to this future from... I know what you're going to say. We talked about it. Go ahead.
No, you left. You left my birthday party early. And this happened after you left. We finally had some fun and a fascinating conversation took place.
What are you talking about?
The jacket. I'm talking about The Jacket. So The Jacket starts out like every movie from 1992 to 2005 started. When they wanted to be weird, they started with a vet. They're like, let's just scramble his brain in war and then they'll believe anything because the poor guy went through hell in Iraq. So we can just mix our gumbo from there.
And glitchy war shots with some up-tempo glitchy electronic music also.
Green glitchy.
Yeah, it was a lot of green glitch.
So green.
In the beginning, it felt like they were trying to be a horror movie. It was so spastic and like jump out, boo, scare you type of stuff.
I actually saw a few things I looked up. It said... It labeled this as a horror movie, which I don't think so, but
yeah,
I mean, it was disturbing.
It was, yeah, it was definitely suspenseful.
So it's based on the Jack London story, the Star Rover, but the Star Rover story is based on him talking to someone that was at San Quentin and he was talking about some of the torturous practices they had received. So I think that part is inspired by truth of, I guess, I don't know, but the straitjackets probably, I don't know about the going in the drawers bit, but who knows? I was not there in 1915. Fun fact.
So at my birthday party, after you guys left, Kelly started chatting with Taylor and I started chatting with Jesse. And we just ended up kind of having some existential conversation. Like, we were just talking about love, life, and liberty and kind of reaching other levels of consciousness, possibly naturally. And he started to tell me about this Jack London book called The Star Rover, where it was written about a guy who Jack London knew. Apparently Jack London spent some time in the queue too, which I didn't realize. I knew Jack London wasn't a fucking daisy farmer, but I didn't realize he spent some time at Quentin. And this guy talked about how, and you know, where truth ends and fiction starts, who knows, but rumor has it this guy, and this is what the book is about, he preferred to be in the straitjacket because the way they tied it on, the way they tied it on so tight, basically cut the flow of oxygen to his brain in a way that gave him visions, and he started to enjoy these visions like you would a good dream or something, and so would therefore start to get himself in trouble so he could get thrown in the hole, so he could get the straitjacket put on, so he could go to his better life outside of the prison. So yeah, and so I was watching this movie last, so Jesse and I had that conversation, and then I was watching this movie, and about 45 minutes in, I went, wait a minute. And I did a quick Wikipedia search, and there it was in the first paragraph of Wikipedia, loosely based on the Star Rover. So yeah, I thought that was kind of a cool little connect. Jesse, by the way, everybody, is one of the hosts of the fascinating podcast Truth Not Trends. Check it out, it's good stuff.
Boom baby. Yeah, and the original story, apparently he like saw past lives in the Jack London story, so that's where this differs, right? In this one, he goes to the future, and good folks and listeners, that makes this a very unique film. We don't get a lot of forward time travel.
That's true.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're not seeing, you know, Biff Tannen's casino or flying cars, but it's future travel. And that's, you know, we just got to take that doesn't happen to us often. So yay, everybody, future travel.
Woohoo!
We did it.
Yeah. Especially in a way that's just like, oh, it's just 15 years in the future. It's not like, you know, oh, 15 years in the future, society is doomed.
Right.
And we need to fix it. We need to save it. It's nothing but skeleton beaches. And I need to save the future from the present. It's just like, at one point, someone's like, what's it like in the future? Like trying to like bait him into
right.
making a prediction. He's like, it's a lot. He's like this.
You got promoted.
Yeah. A tree's a little bit taller. No big deal. So So we slowly fade in to an actual war scenario where Adrian Brody is confronting a child, and this child pulls out a gun and shoots him. And then we go into a voiceover where Adrian Brody says, "The first time I died, I was 27. Wait, that was too menacing.
You turned into like an old Kurt Russell or Nick Nolte just now? What happened?
Let me try that again.
Yeah.
First time I died.
Yeah, that's it.
It was 27. I was 27. The whisper acting was like Adrian Brody, like obviously that's kind of his thing, and this is a super intense role. But then once Jennifer Jason Leigh who was Jackie? Oh, it is Keira Knightley. Sorry.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting to choose a bunch of British actors. Maybe the director was British and then make them do American accents.
Quite poorly. They were trying really hard to do those American accents.
John Mayberry was born in 1958 in London, England.
Aha, I knew it.
Let's see what else.
He brought his Brit actors along.
What else did he do just for fun? Weird. Oh, he did he did Sinead O'Connor's "You Do Something to Me" music video.
Okay.
He did a Morrissey video. Oh, an Erasure video.
There it is.
Oh, he did the titular "Nothing Compares to You" video.
Oh,
so there you go.
A lot of special effects on that one.
All his credits are music videos.
No, but a vast portion of them are. And then he did the jacket, and then they locked him in episodic TV jail. He did a couple of English movies. He did a lot of videos, a couple English movies. Took a big swing with the jacket, and they said
rock
no.
Out.
Yeah, it made a few million less than it cost.
Yeah. Well, and all that money must have gone to actors. I mean, this wasn't, you know, $10 million a piece actor, but yeah, this was so he is then transported to a military hospital. He is tagged. He is just about ready to get bagged. And the nurse says, this dude's still alive. And the other guy says, whoa, he is. And then...
Yeah, I don't understand the significance of that. They kind of showed that he looked like he died, or that he did die, and then he came back to life. Was it that the first time that he went into the locker, into the drawer, and he just kind of saw visions of the war and things like that? Was he traveling back to that time to become alive again, to stay alive?
I don't know, Ari. I wanted to ask. That's our first question.
Oh, wait a minute. That's really interesting. You're suggesting the first time he was in the drawer that he kind of sparked to the future, and that's what kind of woke him up?
Yeah, that he...
That's really interesting.
Which would make this a loop, but that... Because the first time he went in there, it was just like visions and like close-up of the eyes and the war.
Yeah, I like that.
So real quick, Ari, start over. So the first time he's in the drawer, he goes back 2 years.
He doesn't really go anywhere.
It's a quick flash. He flashes like for just a second.
You see him on the table and...
Yeah. And that might've been just the spark that woke him up when he kind of should have died.
So he was there and he stayed alive.
Oh. That is a loop. And it goes into what I was going to talk about later about maybe a grandfather paradox happening here. And that actually supports that.
So that's how I took it, that the first time he went in there and he traveled and he didn't really look like he went anywhere. It was just like he was having a trip.
Yeah.
He went to essentially save himself from dying that first time.
Yeah. Not even intentionally.
Yeah. It just happened.
I like it. I'm going with it. I support it.
So he is transported back into his body. And then shortly after that, I think it actually says 12 months. So is he doing a flashback for 12 months until he meets Jackie for the first time?
He just flashes into his body for a second.
To stay alive.
Just enough to spark.
Not on purpose either. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
This just happened. And then he took him 12 months to recover from that. And then for some reason, he's walking somewhere, hitchhiking somewhere. And he gets.
No, that was after. Once he's awake, they show him in the hospital and they said, okay, you're released, whatever. But he has no memory because of the bullet in his head. And then he's released and then he's walking in the room.
He has no memory after that?
Right.
For the recovery? Okay.
That was part of it, is that he is like amnesia. You think they would have given him documents like, hey, you don't remember stuff. Here's things about you. Instead, they're just like, all right, here we go. Here's a ticket. Have a good time.
Yeah. So they imply that he has memory issues and blacks out and things like that. Yeah.
Bullet went through his head.
Yeah. Are we giving like a synopsis of the movie?
Yeah. He was starting it, I think.
Yeah. I'm kind of working on that, but we are going to. You know, I mean, we usually end up jumping around a little bit anyways, but as this movie is jumpy, it will be more jumpy. They heal him up in the hospital. They send him on his way. 12 months later, he's just wandering down the street. Apparently, he's from Vermont. So I guess they said he doesn't have any family ties. So the movie is just like, this guy is alone in the world and he's just walking down the road and he finds a broken truck and there is a woman and her daughter next to the truck. The mom is, I guess, on heroin. Like, she's nodding off. So
was she drunk or on heroin? Yeah, either way. She's
because he's worried about keeping her awake because he's like, make sure your mom doesn't. Make sure she stays awake. He eventually walks off and she apparently drives the fucking truck home with her daughter in it. So he fixes the truck. While he's fixing the truck, the little girl Jackie is talking with him and asks him if she can have his dog tags. He says, sure. And then mom wakes up.
I have no memory. This is my only sense of identity. Sure, take my dog tag.
Does she take them both?
Yeah, he gives them both to her.
Because I couldn't remember, because very shortly after that, he finds them. And then I thought he was holding, because at some point he holds them both up. And I couldn't tell if they were both from her chain or if he was carrying one around with him still.
Part of what screwed him over with the court thing later is he had no identity. He had no ID and he didn't know who he was.
No, but they knew who he was. It's not they called him by name every time he's in the facility.
I thought they said they couldn't find any like record of him or anything.
No, they never said that.
In the court case?
Yeah.
Well, and he might not have any record from his release of the hospital until this incident.
No, he just had blackout. He just didn't remember anything from that incident with the cop being killed because he blacks out. He still knew who he was.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, well, I think for the most part, he has bouts of amnesia. So even if there's a moment where he's not sure who he is in the long run.
Well, he also blacked out because he got shot again.
Yeah. So right after he helps these women, he hitchhikes. Dude picks him up, tells him it's cold as a witch's tit in a metal bikini doing push-ups in the snow.
Good job.
My new favorite phrase.
If I had gotten picked up in a car and the guy said that, I'd have been like, you can just let me out here, buddy.
I'm good.
I can just walk.
Well, I'm from Montana, so we know how cold witches' tits are. The push-ups in the bikini is new to me. So the cop pulls them over, apparently for going too slow.
No, the guy was wanted or stole the car.
No, the cop at some point said,
I thought he was being sarcastic.
Maybe he was, but we don't get any real, you know, obviously there's some suspicions going on. The driver shoots the officer. While he shoots the officer pulls his gun, accidentally shoots Adrian Brody in the head again.
Yeah.
Does he get
in the same place? What are the odds?
And then the guy just leaves him there. He says, "You wait, cowboy." No. Good. Throws the gun. So when the first officer shows up, they think that Adrian Brody and this cop shot each other. And it's proven not, right? Like in the court case. Do they fully say he definitely didn't?
No. They just assumed he was crazy. And they say, hey, how can you expect him with the war? Even if he shot him, they're saying he's crazy. It's not his fault. They send him to a hospital.
Okay.
That's why the doctor thinks he's a scumbag, because they think he did it. And that's why he's like treating him so poorly in the beginning.
I was hoping to watch this movie again because I hope there's some subtleties in this movie I missed.
I think there's not.
Yeah.
Even as we're looking back on it, this could have had so many more layers to it, right? It could have been like, oh, this is all a vision he's having while he was shot. He's back at the Gulf War, and this is like a Jacob's Ladder thing. And is he going to go into the light or not? It could have been is he crazy or is it really time travel, and play it like 12 Monkeys and almost never let you know. And they didn't. They made a pretty straightforward film. There's a lot of missed points on the field.
It felt rushed.
It felt rushed and slow at the same time. Yeah. Like they took some weird detours to do shit we didn't need to know.
Yeah.
And then blazed past other things that would have given us an idea of what the fuck was going on.
So none of us are excited about this film, it seems like, correct? It's so hard for Desmond to say. It's so hard for Desmond to just say, I didn't like it.
It's a bad movie. Because you like all movies.
We'll get there.
He did say it in our old podcast a time or two. Apocalypse Now, he hated some films.
Oh. So he's at this mental hospital. They sent him to the mental hospital instead of jail, basically. And then, go for it, Ari.
So he's at this hospital, and this place is not a nice place. Like, you hear about mental hospitals being bad, but this is like the stuff of nightmares. And these people are being like unnecessarily mean to him.
So they think he's like that. He got out of a murder rap by saying he's crazy. That's kind of the treatment he's getting.
Oh, okay.
That's why he gets the special. They don't do that for just anybody, for like that jacket treatment.
But all of a sudden they just like take him while he's sleeping, inject him with something, bring him downstairs, put him in the straitjacket, and put him in this drawer. No explanation, no nothing.
In a fucking morgue drawer.
Yeah.
Like, they put him in where you put dead bodies until...
And like the whole time, there's no real explanation. The doctor, the main doctor guy, is like, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, I'm hoping to find your answers.
Just we're trying to make you better.
There could have been a whole layer of like, oh, the doctor knows what he's doing. They're experimenting with time travel, or the doctor planned it. But there is none of that. It almost at the beginning, all of these things could be on the table, and none of them.
Yeah, it's very vague, unnecessarily vague. And so he's put in, you know, he's injected with something. We don't know what. He's put in a straitjacket and put in a morgue drawer, and he starts being able to time travel, and he can time travel in space and time, and his actual body goes there, but he's not wearing.
I thought it was the consciousness.
No, because he's dead.
Oh, it has to be a body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not in the straitjacket anymore, but he's in different clothes, but yet the one time when he had a head injury, he still was injured and bleeding. Anyway, so he travels and he meets Keira Knightley, right? Like, pretty much one of the first times is he meets Keira Knightley, and she like...
who is the little girl that he gave his dog tags to.
Grown up, yeah. This is 15 years later.
So eventually we find out that, you know, and she's not doing well. Her life is pretty crappy. She's dark and miserable. And they have a nice moment. And I guess somehow...
it's Christmas Eve. She takes him back. Maybe some part of her kind of recognizes him, but not in a way that she realizes. And
when's his birthday, Scott?
His birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, is his birthday on Christmas also?
Yep.
Oh.
When did it come
out? Dog tags.
Oh. Nice. Nice pickup.
I didn't
know. Yeah.
So all of the, and he didn't die on Christmas. He died a few days after.
Yeah. And he's traveling 15 years into the future and it's the exact same day. Like it's when it's Christmas Day, when he gets in the drawer, it's Christmas Day in 2007. And then it's the day after Christmas. Like time is moving at the same speed, correct?
So yeah, if he was in the drawer all night, then he was traveling all night. But then they kind of didn't really stick to that later on because he was traveling with her for another all night long, but they didn't mention him staying in that drawer for another all night long. So they kind of abandoned that rule later.
They said
on.
He was asleep for a few days or a full day. So maybe he was supposed to be in the drawer the whole day. I think they did say it was 24 hours. So maybe that's the time that he was in night and the daylight.
Yeah, I don't know.
They might have stuck with it.
It didn't seem like they were super strict with that rule.
I am freaking out right now.
Really?
How long into the movie do you think it is before they put him in the drawer?
Not long.
Yeah, I felt like 23 minutes.
I would have said 30.
I think it was less than that.
13.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Like wow. The war stuff, the kid on the side of the road, the car shooting stuff, the trial stuff, and then boom, he's in the drawer.
Because I pressed play when we started recording and I was like, oh, I wonder if he's time traveled yet. And it's like, oh, he's on his second time. Like I had to rewind it 20 minutes to get back to his first time travel. Because I was thinking they said what they put in him.
They don't.
So yeah, so they, and when they get him to the hospital, they keep him super drugged for a couple days. Or maybe a long time, I don't know. And then they drag him down to... So the doctor, I think the doctor thinks he's using... The doctor's a dick, but I think he thinks he's using him as a guinea pig. And whatever he learns from this guinea pig, he'll be able to implement
right
on quote-unquote real people.
He used it on what he thought were the worst criminals that he got there. Which is what he said, and that's what the other examples are, except it's not consistent because his little buddy apparently just locked himself in a room and starved himself, and he got that treatment.
So the buddy he's talking about is the ugly James Bond guy. What's his name?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel
Craig.
So yeah, he said that he used to do the... Let's give him a minute.
I know, a lot of women disagree with him, apparently.
I have to know who the hot Bond is for you then.
Pierce Brosnan.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense. That tracks. That tracks.
That tracks. He looks like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was like, oh my God, I hope Ari is a Roger Moore girl.
I don't think anyone's a Roger Moore girl.
So that guy, oh Daniel Craig guy, he yes. said that he did it too. And he time traveled too. And when he wanted to go back in there, they wouldn't put him in there.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, he said that. No, he said because the woman...
Yeah, but he also said he killed his wife, and that's not true.
He tried to kill his wife.
No, it doesn't matter.
He didn't. He didn't actually try to kill his wife.
Daniel Craig is a liar. That's what he is. And he wants to be in...
Yeah, but he said it first. He said it before the guy even told him that's what happened.
Oh, did he?
I think we're supposed to assume that he's telling the truth.
I didn't understand the point of that character, the Daniel Craig character. Like,
but again, here's another missed point on the field. If Daniel Craig never said anything, then we could always say, is he really traveling or is he crazy? And then Daniel Craig says it and you're like, oh yeah, he's time traveling. And apparently all you need to do is inject someone with something, put a straitjacket, put him in a morgue drawer, and they'll just time travel.
Yeah, because
it takes away from so many possible things of what's
Daniel
going on.
Daniel Craig definitely says he time traveled, or yeah. He just said that they put him in the drawer.
No, he said he time traveled.
He said, don't fight it, it'll be easier or something.
Yeah, and he said, don't tell the nurse because if she brings it up to them, they're not going to let you time travel anymore. You actually want to do bad behavior so you can keep doing it. And that's why he ends up like acting out at their group therapy. So Daniel Craig, we're actually supposed to interpret, I think, that he did do it. And his advice was sound.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And that's why he's so worried about telling the nurse, is like, because if he tells her what's going on there, she'll have them stop it. And then he doesn't get his only escape. This is the point where Desmond had watched his films. We say something. He's like, wait, that was happening? Oh.
This is one of those movies that I watched and I knew while I was watching, like, it's one of those movies, like every 20 minutes, I wanted to rewind it and see what I missed, even though I've been staring at it the whole fucking time.
You didn't miss much.
Daniel Craig to me, and this isn't his fault. Oh my God, it's not his fault. I love you, Daniel Craig. He's the poor man's Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Because of this movie or in general?
Because of this movie.
Okay, so in this movie, he's the poor man. I had the same thought. Same thought across my mind. I was like, is he going to do anything similar to Brad Pitt in the insane asylum? Da 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 da.
And he does.
Yeah. I mean, not really. He held his own. He didn't like have a twitch or a stutter or, you know.
No, but he kind of helped in the rise up in when he was getting everybody riled up.
No, he was just talking. It was the other guy that did the rise up.
Yeah, it was.
And he was feeding into his like delusions. It was our hero that did that on purpose. So he would get in trouble and go back in the morgue.
But is it?
Did you actually pay attention to this movie, or were you doing seven other things?
Let's just get into it. Well, we're gonna jump around a little bit, but again, this movie jumps around a little bit. So by the end of it, we'll have it all there. Adrian Brody keeps going to the future and bumping into Keira Knightley.
Right.
And he bumps into her the first time. And he doesn't realize it's her. She's just a real nice waitress who doesn't want him to freeze to death on Christmas Eve, and takes him home, feeds him dinner. They, of course, she's, you know, being coy about her name just so that we as the audience can pretend like we're confused for 10 more minutes. And then she eventually passes out. And then that's when he's just kind of looking around for something, and he finds his dog tags, and he wakes her up and says, "This is me. I'm John Stark." She says, "Get the fuck out of here." And then that he died
years ago.
Yeah. So she tells him that he died.
That's right.
And that her mom died also
on January 1st. So she knew that he died.
I don't know. January 1st. When, like, December 20?
No, January 1st.
It was January 1st?
Yeah.
Well, all the holidays are covered.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she remembers him. She had his dog tags. And she also knew when he died, which wasn't, you know, January 1st of...
That same year.
Of 93. Yeah.
Yeah.
How would she as a kid know when he died?
Small town.
Yeah.
And she was obviously obsessed with the guy and held on the dog tags and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her mom died, I think, kind of shortly after that. So
yeah,
she might have been looking for a father figure and just, yeah, came up empty.
There was always George Michael. No? All right, let's move on.
Sorry. So then he's...
All right. So yes, he's still in this life. He's kind of the doctor. Kris Kristofferson and him are kind of button heads. Kris Kristofferson, you can tell, Dr. Becker, they mentioned some things. There was someone that was like a worse offender that I think like raped a child and tried to murder her. And he received this treatment and ended up dying because of it. And the doctor also thinks that Adrian Brody is kind of, yeah, scumbag and faking it. And Adrian Brody is also befriending the one sensitive doctor played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, who obviously seems a little more concerned and nicer, but he's afraid to talk to her because he doesn't want her to find out about the treatment and not let him do it. Yeah.
Right.
Good.
After Adrian Brody finds out when he dies, he wants to investigate why he died. So he keeps going back with the help of Keira Knightley, and they go to the hospital to figure out, like, who killed me? How did I die? And
after the Daniel Craig conversation, though, he goes back again when he causes the ruckus. And this time she remembers him. And this time, all of a sudden, she believes that some of the stuff he said. She's like, okay, how could he have known that? Now she's helping him.
Right. I mean, he keeps going back. And do you want to like recap each one, or do you want to just touch
on? Not that many times.
Yeah, I was going to say, feel free to. What I'm trying to think if there's anything worth talking about when he's back in 93. But I mean, there's just moments of him trying to get back in the locker, basically.
It starts getting significant that when he's in the future, he finds out some things that when he goes to the past.
Oh, so yes, this is something we need to talk about from the past. So there is, come on, load. what's her name? The nurse, Jennifer Jason Leigh. She is treating somebody,
right?
For who is comatose. She's treating a young boy who's comatose, and she thinks she's. I think she kind of knows some sketchy shit is going on in this hospital.
Yeah,
but she thinks that the doctor again. You know, you gotta. Break if he may have to break a few eggs, aka Adrian Brody's brain, but it will end up giving things like the cure to this kid's comatoseness. And so as Adrian Brody is going forward, he is getting closer with Keira Knightley, and also as he's investigating his death, learns about this boy that she treated in the 90s and saved him. And then he takes that information back to the 90s to try to make her believe that he's actually time traveling.
it's a fun statement to say. And Jennifer Jason Leigh in the future told him he was important in the past because he told her a way to solve the problem. And then when he goes into the future a second time, he finds out the thing, goes back to the past, lets her know, she fixes it, she believes him, then helps it happen. That's fun to talk about.
It's a causal loop.
Yeah.
Is it for sure? Because
it is.
I think she treats the kids sooner because of the information he comes back with. Like, I feel like she would have shocked him in like the late 90s, but instead, based on the information he comes back with, she shocks him in 93 instead.
She told him when he saw her in the future, she said, I remember him really well. It was really significant because he helped me solve this problem.
Yeah, he was my most memorable patient.
Right. Because of that.
Right.
So that is
she solved it with him eventually.
He helped me.
She only solved it because he helped her.
Yeah.
She said his information, what he told me, helped me solve this problem.
Which is a causal loop.
Right.
Whose information?
The information she got from him, which he got from her.
Well, he actually got the actual information from his girlfriend because she found it in the newspaper, just because it was in the future and she could research what that was.
Right. But he and then went back and told her.
Right. She got the info because when he was with her, yeah, he woke up. Not woke up.
Because I get what you're saying, and that makes sense. But again, this movie being...
Well, there's some loopholes. There's loopholes.
Not a tight circle.
It's not a tight circle. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's at least there is that causal loop effect happening where because of this, he solved it. And because he solved that, I mean, that's how she remembered him.
See, this is one of those things that I feel like... You guys are going to yell at me. There's a first time.
No, you just can't think nonlinear.
Where she, after exhausting everything else she could to try to treat Babak. Is that his name?
It sounds good enough.
She finally said, fuck it, I'll just shock him. And it worked. And then... Because she gives him that information when he's time traveling, in this loop, she does it sooner and cuts out that 5 years of exhaustive.
Why would you assume that, though? What in the movie would make you think that? Or because you want to believe in linear time?
Well, because the more we talk about this movie, the less I believe I actually watched it at fucking all.
This is becoming my favorite part of the podcast. Is the moment where Desmond's like, wait. That happened? Wait, actually, Desmond, I want to support you a little bit. I'm going to support you now. So you would think this was a causal loop. However, if I jump the gun a little bit to the end, an alternate timeline is formed.
Yeah.
And so what I was reading in the article about is like, it's a grandfather paradox. However, they're relying on that initial timeline for the second one to exist at all. And in that second timeline, the first timeline is still happening. In that first timeline, he never goes back to it. And she's just waiting for him forever. Because he kind of came into this alternate branch that started. And this is my loophole. We'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. Of the fact that he changed things at the end. And that's also supports some of what Desmond's. I mean, it's not a full loop because he did change it. So it starts getting a little contradictory. The article that I read that throws out it's a grandfather loop with an alternate timeline is a little bit interesting. They need that first timeline for the second one to happen.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
In general.
But it's weird to have a grandfather paradox that goes off a different timeline.
So
relies on it.
Are you saying grandfather paradox and causal loop are the same?
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead. Let's call them a causal loop.
Okay.
Because grandfather paradox is
more about your own. creation.
Yeah, more about like killing somebody.
Sure.
So causal loop is, you know, something couldn't happen because unless you were there, and because you were there, it happened and you were the cause of.
Is causal loop the exact same as bootstrap, or is it only sometimes that they?
No, it's the same. Bootstrap and causal loop are the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up the plot and then we can kind of get to the loopholes of this.
Because we'll wrap up the plot.
I mean,
you do it.
We're kind of all over the place. It's
well, he keeps going back and forth. He gets more information from actually he doesn't.
He knows he really died of a head wound, and everyone is very vague about it, and he suspects the worst.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and for whatever, and has he already decided he cannot stop his own death?
I think the more it goes on, yeah, he's realizing it. He even said he's like, at this point, he's like, I'm going to die in a few days, and that's apparently going to come to pass.
Right.
At first, he was trying to help that.
So he writes a letter to Keira Knightley's mom. Jackie was her name in the movie?
Jean. Keira Knightley is Jackie. Well, mom
also,
is Jean.
We should mention that they fall in love, right? They hump, they fall in love. Now she's like a time traveler's wife waiting for him to pop in and back.
Yes.
Yeah. So he writes a letter to the little girl's mom saying like, hey, you're going to fall asleep with a cigarette in your hand.
This is hard to believe.
Don't
but...
do that.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I'll listen to you. I will listen to you. Like, push you off a road. But because you're writing me a letter saying you're a time traveler, I'm going to listen and respect that and change my ways.
Yeah. So as he's returning back with the lady doctor from delivering that letter, he slips on the ice and hits the back of his head for the third time.
Third head wound. This guy's had the worst week.
And as he's laying there bleeding on the ice, he's like, you got to get me into the drawer. Right? She doesn't really know what's going on. So
she believes him at this point because he helped her with the child thing and that worked.
Yeah.
By the way, can we just, he tells her, hey, you got to electroshock the kid. She says, I would never do that to a child. He's like, it's going to work. And she goes back that night and be like, okay, fuck it, I'll do it. And then she shocks him that night. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, I think a few other things happen where
yeah.
she's just like, this dude's a real fucking.
He's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, this is real.
Okay.
So he's bleeding. They put him in the jacket. They put him in the drawer and he travels into the future and meets up with Keira Knightley. But this time she has a nice car.
Ooh, new car.
And apparently her mom is still alive. Her mother never died in a fire from a cigarette and she seems happier, but he's got like a wound bleeding that he's bleeding from and they drive off into the distance and it's happily ever after.
Yeah. And by the way, can we,
and this woman doesn't know who he is.
No, but right. She kind of recognizes him a little bit, like a little smirk.
So you could argue that this is, you know, ripple effect, that he changed something in the past and it rippled forward. Or you can say that it is in an alternate timeline
where he made like an alternate branch.
Some different branch.
Yeah. It's going to be, I just also find it strange that she gets a physician, his head is bleeding on the ice, and he says, no, you got to put me in a jacket, throw me in a drawer. And the physician says, okay, we're not going to try to keep him alive or treat him. We're just going to respect his wishes, put him in a straight jacket while he's bleeding and throw him in the drawer.
Like pools of blood underneath his head.
But we'll let go of that. We'll let go of that. So the movie seems to suggest that the time travel was real. Because he went in the future and said things that affected things and went in the past and they don't, and the mom, he affected the thing with the mom and the daughter. At no point are they suggesting this is a dream sequence or that he's crazy. He just really straight jacket medicine time travel.
Yep. So the time travel device for this movie is three things need to come together. You need to be injected with some mystery liquid. Mm-hmm. You need to be put in a urine soaked old full body straight jacket, and you need to be put into the middle drawer of a morgue and have the door closed.
Can we not agree? This is maybe the most unique form of time travel we have seen in all the films.
Yes.
All's we need is some Loxodol and Ativan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently that's what they had him on. Yeah.
Well, that's what he said. We don't know if he was saying that to be safe. Like she asked him what they gave him. And he's like, Loxodol and Ativan. But like, That might be what he told her, because that's the logical answer. And he might have done something more experimental. Yeah. That's what I would think.
Well, and that might have been the pills he was popping when he was in his room and not the cocktail they gave him to.
Oh, but it's not just like this guy had a special ability, right? Because
It happened to the other guy.
Because it happened to ugly James Bond guy. So
a sedative and a straitjacket and a drawer.
So anybody could do this. You just have to have those three things and you can time travel. And when you do, you travel in space and time. Yeah. And it seems like you only travel going forward. But there was one moment where he went backwards to.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know any.
Well, they
of
show
this.
Him going back to witnessing the crime.
Yeah.
He goes back and he actually sees that the guy shot the police officer and the police officer shot him with his third head wound.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ways this could not be real. The fact that he was shot in the head three times, very easy to believe that this is either him in the afterlife or him in his brain in the moment. But again, they didn't go that route. They were.
By the way, this is the only movie we're talking about this year.
What?
We're just, I have to watch this movie 10 more times.
For the first one.
You're going through a lot.
And I'm not going to do it because this movie is placed right next to Primer on everybody's top 10 list.
Really?
And I refuse to believe that Primer is a work of genius and this is nonsensical.
I mean, I look at Time Crimes compared to this, and that was so much more intelligently manicured than this one.
Yeah.
And, if we can talk about the loopholes now,
you can talk about whatever you want.
You know, it's like Butterfly Effect. It reminds me of that, right? Butterfly Effect, he disappeared. And then the things he did affected. Then you find out when you fill in the blanks what happened. And it's also got the causal loop stuff. Everything in the future, he told in the past, all that. Everything's causal loop. It's all happened. And that's why it's happened. It doesn't explain why he could change it at the end. That goes against all these theories. He's doing the same stuff he would have always done. Why is that last one different, but everything else has been the same? It doesn't make any sense to me. In all those other times, he never thought to do that same thing.
And if he had stopped himself from dying, this could have all made so much more sense.
Stopped himself from dying the first time he got shot?
No.
No, you mean the head wound.
When he falls on the ice, like if he had stopped that and then lived until 2007, where...
He would have been too old for...
Well, I mean... In his timeline, he met her at 8. So this is already getting really weird and gross.
Right. But they're probably like around the same age when they meet.
In the original timeline where he died, right? They say you died from the head wound.
No one says that, though.
She did.
Yeah, they did.
The girl.
Oh, from the fall on the ice. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You died from a head wound.
Yes.
So in that timeline, you know, maybe he did all those things and then he dies. So they don't put him in the drawer for the first time, we'll say. Like when he actually dies, right? They don't put him in that drawer. So the only thing that saves him is because he made them put him in the drawer and he was able to travel. Is that what we're saying?
No. What do you say?
So you said that he was able to do something different. If this was
that he did that was different. I guess they're suggesting the fact that he wrote the letter to her mother
and be put in the drawer.
No, he saw it. He saw it because he got put in the drawer. It's.
But maybe in the past he was still able to write the letter, but then he just died and she just went on and had a great life.
No, but then the mother lived this time in the other timeline, the mother died. So he did affect, even if he died, the mother lives. That's already a different, the girl has a different.
The letter has already been passed.
The letter and the being put in the drawer is.
The drawer doesn't even matter after he passes the letter.
Right.
The drawer, him being put in the drawer at the end when he's dying is only so he can see the effect he caused. So he can be happy that his little ruse worked.
And he lives on, right?
He doesn't live on though.
He does. He's in the. His body in the past dies, and now he's in the future, and he gets to live happily ever after with Keira Knightley.
No.
What do you mean, no?
He disappears.
He didn't disappear.
In the past, he disappears.
In the past, he disappears. Now he's in the future. His past body dies, and he is now consistently in the future with Keira Knightley.
Oh, my fucking God.
They have a happy ending. She's like, hey, I'll drive you to the hospital because you got your head wound, and they're running off, and he's like content, and... they could have handled that better. They could have showed him dying and show that he's there, but they could have handled a lot of things.
But he's not in two places at the same time,
right?
When he's in the drawer and he travels, his body's not in that drawer, right? Because when he was in the back seat of the car and then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
So his body can't be in two places. So he actually physically travels.
It's funny. The review I was reading was talking about it being consciousness traveling, but it's not. You're right. Because a new body appears in the future.
Yeah.
It's not there. So it is not consciousness. And he also gets different outfits, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the clothes.
The time and space thing also don't make sense. He could go to Tahiti.
Yeah.
And they also didn't go into like him going into the drawer and having an intention and saying, I want to go to this time. He just happened to go 2 days later. He just happened to see the past.
That's why I think, whatever the little past jumps are, those are like memory leaks. I think when he's going forward and seeing Jackie, that is like a one-to-one. Like Christmas Day in 1993 is Christmas Day in 2007. And then the day after Christmas in 93 is a death. And he keeps getting put in that drawer every day for a week.
But he doesn't wake up in the drawer. He wakes up in different places. He's outside the diner. He's inside her car.
Yeah, when he travels.
He travels in time and space.
But this, the amount
it's okay.
Of time.
They just, I mean, he's intending to. I think the movie just never took it. They never showed him going, okay, December 27th, 2000. Like, he just happens to.
Yeah.
This movie is so dumb.
It's missing some things.
Yeah, it's not, it didn't quite get it.
Oh.
So it's like magical. It's like a magical time travel.
It's,
if it was going to be a mystery one. But if you're not, then you should spell things out and you should say he dies in the past. Now he lives in the future. You should say he has an intention of which time to go to. So I think the story is trying to suggest he's trying to stop himself from dying. Somewhere in there, he falls in love.
I don't think he is.
Well, originally he was. That's why they start investigating. And then he figured,
oh, that's right.
I can't change that, but I can make her life better. And that's like the noble thing.
Yeah.
Since it just hit me, like the way it faded out last night, and I watched this really late last night, so as soon as it faded, I just turned it off. I probably missed that last line that says, how much time do we have? The fact that he stays in the future is now infuriating to me.
Wow.
Why?
It's fucking, it makes...
It's a Hollywood ending.
It makes no sense.
See, and this is why if he had stopped his death in the past, and then in the future, we realize he actually is 15 years older, which would have made him older, but not gross, you know.
I mean, he's already probably 15 years older than her now.
You know what? I
would have been at least 30 years older.
I crossed the 25-year gap a long time ago, yeah. So maybe I'm biased.
That's a different podcast.
That's a way different podcast. And then, like, yeah, somehow, like, we realize as the audience that we've been seeing Adrian Brody from the 90s, but it's actually she is seeing Adrian Brody 15 years older in 2007. And then we get that reveal that, like, he's just been more Ashton Kutcher astral projecting. But then again, I guess then Jackie, it would have been more different for Jackie because she would have always been with Adrian Brody and would have just always been wondering which one she's dealing with.
This movie is not scientifically based. It's almost mysticism,
magic,
but it doesn't even have like a magic. It's so random. If they would have gone into, yeah, like transcendental, like when you're in this place, you get in a meditative state, you lose oxygen, you can't move, your mind can leave its body. That would have at least had some basis of something for it. They just go into, no, you're in a straitjacket in a drawer and you just time travel.
Yeah.
And it's without any, it's a medicine and a straitjacket. And that, like, if they had gone into like as a practice, that would have been cool. If you met a fellow inmate, be like, look, the way you survive here is you can escape in your mind. And here's a practice. And when you go in there, and then somehow he was able to like meditate and like go into other bodies, or like you said, form a hologram in the future or something, that might have even had more of a base to it.
Yeah.
This doesn't have, it's just trying to.
This movie is so early 90s, it's insane.
Even though it was made in 2005?
Oh, this was made in 2005. Oh, this movie's terrible!
Wow!
This movie is...
Desmond admits it.
Terrible!
It's official.
I mean, we've seen worse on Rotten Popcorn, but yeah. It has a soundtrack from Brian Eno, which should have been more exciting.
I thought the soundtrack was terrible.
He's like an ambient noise dude. He had some moments.
It was noise. That's exactly what it was.
Oh.
So yeah, it's... again, they're doing an interpretation off a novel that I think had different intentions. He was going.
They didn't know the novel. This is so loosely based on the novel. It's the only thing they took from the novel is straitjacket dream state.
Right.
Like that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it goes a little bit deeper than that. But I fucking hate this movie.
Whoa.
And I'm really, but in a, I'm going to watch it again because I.
The only time travel form more random is about time where he just goes into a closet to do it.
But then,
but at least you could say it's a vortex. It's well, a portal.
It's a genetic. It's a genetic anomaly that.
Right.
It's
okay.
A magical genetic. Which
at least has a logic to it.
Yeah.
Even with, you know.
And they explain it. This is just like. Anybody can do it. You just need these three things.
Yeah. I have a hard time with like, this is how the time, it's causal because he did this and then he just changed it.
But also, randomly. If you are dying, why does traveling into the future prevent you from dying? Like, if that's the way to die.
Your body is somewhere else.
Well, because if you can if you can exist in a time where you're not supposed to, you must feel like you can.
Your matter is already there. It's not like, right. It's not like if he was like Desmond said, if he lived it and then it was erased, but it was based upon living all that time, then he would be erased from history. But if it's just like a projection of other time that he never lived in anyway, he's there.
Yeah, but it's not a projection. His body right. travels.
It's a physical projection. Right?
So if you're dying, like that's the moment that killed him. If he's dying, why does traveling to the future with this medicine and all the stuff prevent you from that death?
Well, if you can, it gives you the information to hopefully. Oh, I see what you're saying. Timeline. Yeah.
He moved into an alternate timeline.
But he still had the blood on his head. I can understand if.
A different outfit. Where did the new outfit come from?
Yeah.
Why is he not in a straitjacket in front of the restaurant? Why did he travel through time and then get like a jacket and a scarf? And if could he choose whatever he wanted? Could he have a warmer jacket? Because he's outside of Vermont.
But yet still have the blood.
Oh, you can see the films where they really think about time travel and the ones where they just think it's cool.
Yeah, they're like...
Yeah.
Where like Time Crimes plots it out. They cover all the bases. Endgames covers it. Yeah, this does not.
All right, let's hear some other fantastic takes on this movie. Rotten Popcorn. The film is energetic, but with a rather conventional love story at its heart. Not particularly convincingly acted by Brody and Knightley. This is one jacket that doesn't fit. Boom! Burned.
Yeah, why does Keira Knightley all of a sudden like believe him and fall in love with this guy? Like, what happened that she's like willing to... That they go through that so quickly.
Yeah, because if the letter scene was the first time that that had happened, all she was basing this obsession on was that one moment on the side of the road when he fixed their car.
But then say after he told her that and she kicked him out, he left. Next time he comes back, she's like, hey, I did some research for you and let's do some stuff and I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, they hung out once. She's like, come back to me. And he puts his arm around her and they've hung out like, it's very weird.
Yeah, it's weak. Weak plot.
All right, here's one more great one. Tegenin seems to draw inspiration from two books, 10 Ways to Copy 12 Monkeys, a far inferior read to 10 Ways to Write 12 Monkeys, and Common Sense, A Stranger. Burn.
Yeah, I guess you could say that it is kind of similar to 12 Monkeys. He's in an insane asylum and he's able to travel.
Yeah, is he crazy or is he not?
But in 12 Monkeys, he goes to the past, right? Not to the future.
Right.
Well, and in 12 Monkeys, they make it obvious that his body is going there.
Yeah.
Like, they make it make sense that...
Yeah.
It reminds me of Butterfly Effect a little bit, too, of, like, trying to make it better for your partner and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Filling in the gaps.
Sorry. I'm just looking up something real quick because I know we won't actually ever talk about this movie again. I need to get it all.
Are you going to watch it again anyway?
I am. I just want to see if there's just like a quick little, see what some other people's theories are.
I feel like it's still, I don't think it's the worst time travel movie ever. I feel like we've seen worse clunkers, but it doesn't give you a lot to work with.
I think that's where it is the worst. I think as a sappy, weird love story of two people trying to find any way to stay together, it's kind of touching. But as a time travel movie, it's just like, it doesn't even try.
Desmond, that list you sent me, it had the jacket as number 36. That makes you feel better. 80 time travel movies or whatever, or 50.
Yeah.
So it's not super high on it.
All right. So
I can't believe he survives three head wounds, like two bullet holes in his brain, and then enough to fall in the ice in his head to bleed out.
To bleed a lot.
What?
If you're bleeding that much from your head, that's really bad.
Also, can we talk about the over-the-top eye imagery in the film?
Oh, God.
Lots of eyes and time traveling through eyes and seeing through eyes and close-ups of eyes. A lot of eyes.
It was like a bad art student movie with all those effects.
Oh, you mean we're going to watch Seven Splinters in Time next?
Sure.
Yeah! Let's do it!
We can't be worse than this one, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Scott's like, it could be.
No, you'd be surprised.
It is, as a time travel movie, it's awesome. Awesome. any last words on the jacket?
You guys do it? Desmond, you got to ask us the question.
Ask us.
Ask us. If I could shoot you full of sodium pentothal and put an uncomfortably tight straight jacket on you and then shove you in a drawer built for dead people, and you, well, let's just go with the theory of this movie, you will time travel 15 years into the future. Do you do it?
Yes, if I'm in prison, fuck yes. Or a mental hospital, get me out. You can keep me a prisoner of my body, but not with my mind.
I would do it too, because it sounds like the place that you land after you travel is like where you need to be, right? It's like, it's like the only, it's a good place. So I would do it, yeah.
Wait. Sorry, Desmond, you answer and then...
I would do it only... The only reason I'm saying yes is because of the conversation I had about the actual book, The Star Rover, and how that functions. And it seems like this movie really makes it to where you got to get, like I said, shot up with a ton of drugs. You got to get really effed up. You got to be in the drawer. You got to be put in a... I love a... deprivation chamber. I love it. So this is kind of like the next level of that. The whole, we're going to shoot you full of God knows what, and we don't know where you're going to go, scares the hell out of me. But the idea of like almost meditating yourself into a time travel state.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's hot. That's hot. Short version is I do it. I just gave a really long answer, but the truth is I think I do this one. If I could see in this movie too, like in the book, the straitjacket is very necessary. And in this movie, the only reason they say the straitjacket serves is because the doctor thinks it's going to keep him from hurting himself when he's in the drawer.
Well, it's sensory deprivation though, right? That kind of gives you the same effect.
They said he wanted it to make it seem like a womb.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. But that was more of the, yeah.
Like tight and dark. And it's a sensory deprivation tank, like you said.
Yeah. But it's, like I said, in the book, it's a very necessary portion of the, yeah.
Maybe they gave him ketamine. He just went ultimate K-hole.
God, I hope so.
Let me ask you a question, though. I'm trying to think about this. Is this supposed to be a Jesus story? There's like the December 25th thing, and like he died a few times and came back.
Oh,
this is a fucking Jesus story!
Come on!
I'm a Jew. I don't know about this stuff, so maybe you could pitch in on this. How many times doesn't Jesus die a few times for people's sins, or is it just once?
No, he dies once, and he comes back 7 days later.
Is that what happened?
I think so. Is it 3 days or 7 days?
Well, he dies kind of three times. He gets shot in the head at war. He gets shot in the head at the other thing. And then he dies here and is like reborn 15 years in the future. So, but, and he's also the fact that all those things are on Christmas, that he's born on Christmas and he keeps reappearing on Christmas.
I don't think so.
That's a thing though. Why choose Christmas?
Yeah.
Because it's an easy date to remember and she hates the holidays and it's.
Why does he live through headshots two times?
All right. Here we go. I'm on ChristianAnswers.net.
Oh,
what? God. That's a website?
Why?
That's a website? Christian Answers. Like, I'm masturbating too much. What's the answer?
Oh! Woo!
Did I crack the code?
All right.
Did I crack the code?
The Jacket is three movies in one that has confused, it seems, all of the critics. They either hate it or like it, but none pretend to understand it. The reason they don't understand it is because they're trying to make logical sense of what is really a polemical film. Polemicist, a writer who argues in opposition to the others, especially in theology.
Oh. A writer who writes an argument to theology? Or for? Are you finding out anything? Or are you just...
No, that's not true. They say he projects his astral body, his physical spirit, his other self forward into time.
I don't think this has anything to do with Jesus, because if that's what they were intending, they would have been more blatant with it.
People, no, they wouldn't.
Really? People who are trying to make this, you know, a secret Jesus story, don't make it that secret. They want it to be known. They want you to know that this is about Jesus or God or whatever, the Bible. They don't make it that obscure.
It's just the living through death and the Christmas thing. But yeah, I'm just asking the question.
I don't think it does. I don't think it's trying to be a Jesus story. They just chose Christmas because it's a significant, you know, date where you can.
Yeah.
Similarly, a good bump on the head restores Jack Starks to his right mind and enables him to be resurrected. He escapes the filing drawer, which he calls a womb, and is born again into a bright future with a happy Knightley who has given up alcohol and her gas-guzzling SUV. She now drinks lattes and drives a Volkswagen Beetle. Now, is that a liberal fairy tale for our time or what? You may escape the jacket by not seeing it. The filming is too often nauseating, the writing pretentious, and the polemics sophomoric.
I think what we can take from this movie is that you can time travel, you can change things for the better, and you might even help someone you love get a better car.
Yeah.
Before she says the stuff about the nurse and the mom, we're like, hey, you got her a new car. Way to go. It's good stuff.
God, we're doing... Our next episode is about this article. We're going to read this article and we're going to talk about it for an hour.
Yeah, or we could just kind of slice our fingernails off.
Until next time, when we talk about the jacket over and over again, I am Desmond McNeese.
I'm Uriel Gerler.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye.
And if you're a fan of podcasts in general, please check out whatsoundsawesome.com for the We Mixed It lineup. We have a great fitness podcast. You're thinking to yourself, you know what? I don't want to lift weights. I'm happy the way I am. You know what? You should still check it out. There's great interviews with awesome people. Jesse and Liam are fun to listen to. There's great nutrition advice and just no nonsense fitness related ideas. Your body's all taken care of. You want to deal with your brain a little bit? Check out All the Answers for all of your comedy spirituality needs. Do you like fart jokes? Do you like to be spiritual? Then All the Answers is for you. Katie and Cassidy, laugh a little, love a lot, cry sometimes. Have you seen the new Amazon show Wheel of Time and are wondering what the hell is going on? I need more info so I can suss this out. Check out Thank the Light, the Wheel of Time podcast by me, my hetero life mate, Justin. He is a longtime fan of the book series. I am new to it. We help you break down every episode with just a little bit of extra book knowledge. We're trying not to spoil too much, but Justin will just sprinkle some breadcrumbs to make a few things make sense, give you a reason to keep coming back to the show. We're obviously going to have a big off season to fill, so we're going to do some fun episodes. We're going to do some character breakdowns. It's going to be great. Are you brave? Could you use just a little bit of courage by listening to other people's brave stories of how they have survived difficult life situations and come out smiling on the other end? Check out the Be Brave podcast. Kara and Patty interview awesome women who are simply brave. And it is great. If you are a fan of awesome people, check out the Be Brave podcast. whatsoundsawesome.com. It's fucking cool. mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.